CliffCentral.com.
I'm in such a good mood today. I have no idea why. I don't have any, for the first time in a long time, I don't have any serious plans for the weekend. I've got a birthday party I'm going to tomorrow, and that should be fun, but it's adult, you know. It's not going to be one of those parties where everybody gets hammered. It's quite sensible people. I'm looking forward to seeing that crew who are there. But otherwise, I've got a nice quiet weekend planned. Didn't expect dancing in the dark. Sorry about that. So I'm expecting a nice chilled weekend, which is always good. And I hope you're planning a nice happy weekend this weekend too, whatever you're doing. I'm getting back into exercise. I'm trying to eat properly because I realized I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, Jesus, you fat fucking bastard.
Mm.
Got a gunt.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yes, it's a gunt.
It's so bad. It's so bad, my gunt. It was looking at me like I was lying in bed last night. I got into bed and I don't want to wear it. It's too hot to like wear a shirt. So I'm looking at my fucking pasty body and I'm going, ugh, the hell would want to, who would want to see this? You know, I don't even want to see it and it's mine. So I just, I decided last night that this is going to be a project going forward. I mean, I'm not.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Hey, listen, I saw Ben yesterday.
Oh,
I went to the Cliff Central Studios.
Oh yeah. Bulelo says he looks insane.
Yeah.
I saw Ben last Saturday. Yeah.
But you mentioned that he was exercising like crazy during lockdown.
Well, he looks terrific.
Yeah.
So did you guys have a chat or did you just say hi, Ben? Oh. And leave?
I mean, like, yeah, no, we had a little chat. It was so nice to see him.
Did you look at him in the corridor and just pass him by and go, looks like you've been working?
No, we had a chat. We were all catching up on how COVID's affected our jobs and that sort of thing. Yeah, but no, it was nice. It was nice to see him. I saw him and I saw Spike and I saw Mbulelo and I saw Greg.
Excellent. Yeah, you got back on track. That's very good news. I think we should maybe try and do like one show a week from the studio. It'll feel a little bit more normal and we must just choose which day it is. Maybe it should be a Friday, you know. Go into work on a Friday, see the people you want to see and then get on with your weekend.
Yeah.
I think it could be fun.
I think it would be good.
Busted Sana saying, what is the name of the song that you just accidentally played? That would have been Bruce Springsteen, Dancing in the Dark.
Dancing in the Dark.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Janet says, what a perfect Friday song. I'm busy compiling my birthday party list, and Steve Winwood is definitely on there. I was going to do something tomorrow night, but I opted to move it to next Saturday as the weather is set to be perfect for a summer's evening. Can't wait to celebrate with my friends. Yes, and it is also Halloween, and there are two full moons in this October, which means for those people who are into Halloween, it's an extra powerful one. Dun, dun, dun.
It's also twice the amount of craziness for those who are affected by the lunar cycles.
Right. Thomas wants to know, where is Sia? Has he had another defecation incident? You're never going to live this down, Sia. Sia admitted this week that he sharted once at the office and then had to wait for like an hour or two for his dad to come and pick him up in the early days of Cliff Central. And now it's just not, it's the story that will never go away.
Clearly.
No.
I love the honesty. I love it.
I'll keep things to myself from now on.
No. This is a good place to unload, literally in your pants sometimes. But it's a good place to unload all of your stories. As Leanne said earlier, and you said, Sia, if we just all admit it now, then we don't have anything to fear, right? you never need to live in fear of being exposed like poor Katlego was by his horrible ex. And look, he was horrible to her, obviously, too, because she said he cheated on him. She said he cheated on her. All right. Ken Barbinski is our very next men's health model. Yes. Well, I don't think that is men's health still alive as a publication? Because there's so many magazines
that have closed down.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how the magazine rack is like reduced to just a few magazines?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Is there still a U in Haysgenwit? I mean,
oh, frick, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jeez, that's a piece of shit, that U magazine, hey?
Wow. No.
Oh, come on, Sia, do you read it?
I don't read it as religiously anymore, but it is the cornerstone of my youth.
You, Haysgenwit, and Drum.
Yes.
Those are the three.
Yes.
And they're all the same, but the one is for the Afrikaans people, the other one is for the English people, and the other one is for the blacks. That's the way they the way they market it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's just outrageous. And we still have like one magazine for the whites and the blacks. It's crazy, right? Christine says, I once had a friend who was so loud and rude that it made me anxious to be around her. So I ended the friendship by telling her that she was overbearing and that she made me anxious. It didn't go down well, but it was the best thing I ever did. Hmm. That's brave, Christine.
I had a friend once who was very loud in public, which embarrasses me a lot. And they also were very controversial. So they tried to go against the grain all the time.
Yeah.
And eventually I said to them, you realize that your life is a mess because you don't conform. You do have to conform at some point.
Wow.
You've got to integrate yourself into society. Yeah, but the coexist.
The dangerous part of what you said isn't the conform part. It's the your life is a mess.
The mess.
Yeah. So they said, they actually stopped me mid-sentence and said, I actually cannot speak to you right now. And I'm going to put the phone down. And we haven't spoken since.
Gee. That's
how far back was this?
I'd say 5 years.
Damn.
You know what would solve all your problems and how to get those people back in your life who you've pissed off along the way? It would solve Katleho's problems too. Well, you want to know? Weekends have some extra meaning now because you could bet on the outcome of two big US draws by going to lottoland.co.za. That's right. The Mega Millions is now standing at 7.4 billion rand. Every time we talk about it, it goes up by a couple of billion. I mean, this is unbelievable. Saturday morning, 5 a.m., they're going to do that draw. The U.S. Powerball is 6.7 billion rand. I know it sounds less, but I'd settle for that too, you know? That draw takes place on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. There are only 1.5 weeks left for the special payouts on Lotto Land with these two draws. Bet now. Go to lottoland.co.za. Lotto Land, just so you know, is a licensed platform with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling line is 0800 006 008, because if you have money, you can solve any problem. Well, you've got 7.4 billion on the Mega Millions, and then US Powerball is 6.7 billion.
I can't imagine anyone winning 6.7 billion and going, damn, I could have had 7.4 billion.
Yes.
Then I could have done so much more.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely
That would
spot
be
on.
A very greedy person.
I'm wearing a t-shirt that's got a lot of people's attention this morning. It's that one from Yassus. Do you remember the people who made this brand came in to see us one day and they dropped off a bunch of t-shirts for the team. So
show us again. So it says Yassus.
It says Yassus, South Africa's wildest.
Yassus.
There's nothing else.
I think it was last year sometime.
Yeah, so it's an actual brand. You could look it up. Yassus. Y-U-S-S-U-S. And go and take a look online. I'm sure they're still around. I hope they're still around.
That's how we feel about life today.
Yassus. I say that often. and people don't understand. Overseas people don't know what Yassus means because it's Afrikaans, really. I mean, you know.
And how do you even explain it? It's Yassus.
Some people get upset when you say Yassus because it's like blasphemy to some people.
It is. It comes from Yassus.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus in Afrikaans.
Correct. So, but it's almost developed its own meaning separate from that. So you really are traditional and old school if you're going to the derivation of the term, because these days people are, yes, that was hot, or yes, that was stupid, or whatever it is. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with religion. It's like when someone who isn't religious goes, oh my God, You know, they're not actually invoking the name of God. So everybody just has to calm down. I don't think, you know, blasphemy is a victimless crime, in that if God is really upset, I suppose he could take you out of the lightning bolt if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, just let it be.
Don't talk about Leanne's neighbor like that, Gary.
At the risk of being controversial, we have to remember that not blaspheming was written on a stone by a man.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Correct. Anyway, we're not going to get into a religious argument first thing on a Friday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's something interesting. This is from Megan, and I want to hear your opinion on this. Megan sent me an email. She said, "Hey, guys, something not COVID-related, happily. I've never been a really big Miley Cyrus fan, but I listened to a Joe Rogan podcast with her, and I didn't hate it. I came across a few covers that she's done recently, and I can't stop thinking about her Heart of Glass performance. You know the song by Blondie?
Yeah.
How does it go, Leanne?
The heart of glass.
That's right. Very good. I knew you'd know it. So apparently.
Then you guys say, I sound bad. Okay.
The funny thing is, I'm sure anyone listening to that would know which song it was if they've heard the song before. So Megan heard this version of Heart of Glass. Really good, in my opinion anyway. Wondering if you've seen them or what you guys think. I've been listening to you since I was in school and since Cliff Central started, every day without fail. Since I've moved to France, it makes me feel not so far from home. I've even managed to get all my French friends hooked too. Excellent, merveilleuse. Merci beaucoup, Megan. And she says, I'm sending love to the whole team from the snowy French Alps. Isn't that nice?
Well, speaking of France.
Yes, oui.
There's been a list released of the friendliest cities in Europe by the rulers of Condé Nast Traveler.
Because France is not friendly. The French people are lovely, but they're not friendly, especially if you don't speak French. They're not going to go out of their way. I have met nice French people, but they are the exception, not the rule.
So to keep you hanging on this cliffhanger of a story, do you think that any French city could possibly have featured on this top 10 list
possibly,
of friendliest cities in Europe?
But if it is, it's in the south of France and not in Paris. Paris is not a friendly city.
So in 10th place, we've got Helsinki in Finland.
Yes, very nice people in Finland.
I see you.
Hello. Welcome to Finland. Okay, good.
In 9th place, Athens in Greece.
Ah, hello.
In 8th place, Reykjavik in Iceland.
Yeah. I found out something interesting yesterday about Iceland.
Oh, yeah?
Icelandic people buy more books per capita than any other people in the world.
Jeepers.
They have a population of some 3 odd million people, I think. 3.5 million people. This one novelist in Helsinki or somewhere else in Iceland has written this book. Half the population bought the book. So per capita, the Icelandic people read more books, actual books, than any other people in the world.
Not much to do there in the snow.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just very into their books. They especially like crime thrillers.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
And they're very good at making those movies and writing those books and scripts.
Okay.
In 7th place, Edinburgh.
Yes, Scotland. Oh,
from Edinburgh, I suppose.
Friendliest. Okay.
Yeah, but as long as you don't go to Glasgow. They are not very friendly in Glasgow, but they're very nice people in Edinburgh. Edinburgh's usually friendly because they have the Edinburgh Festival there. And once a year, artists from all over the world and comedians come flocking into Edinburgh. And they make people laugh, which is very important.
What's that bloody thing they like to eat there? Is it haggis?
Oh, haggis is not bloody.
Haggis
is a stuffed...
You're thinking of blood sausage, perhaps.
Blood pudding. A black pudding.
Blood pudding.
There's
pudding.
A specific word. Anyway, maybe that's what makes them friendly.
Okay.
In 6th place, we've got Bologna in Italy.
Hmm.
In fifth place, Lisboa in Portugal.
Yes, the Portuguese very friendly. They can definitely, I can vouch for that. When I was in Lisbon, 2 years ago, I had a very good time, met very nice Portuguese people, very friendly, and sell lovely foods.
Okay.
You know that the Algarve in Portugal is my favorite place. Mm-hmm. And
that's where you're going to go. Isn't that where you're going to go when you're very old?
Yes, which is soon. It should be coming up soon.
You're going to have one of those those black dukes on your head, and you're going to tie it under your neck, and you're going to walk with a hunchback and a stick in your 80s.
With buckets of fish.
Oh, yeah, no, I can see you in a bucket of fish, and you're going to be, and you'll hit children with the stick as they run past you.
Yes.
Oh.
What's really cool is that in fourth place is another Portuguese city, Oporto.
Yes, very nice. So,
then in third place is Valletta in Malta, the Mediterranean island.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it before.
In second place, Dublin, Ireland.
Yes, where I've absolutely. Been. The Irish are very friendly people. I can totally vouch for them. That's great.
Hmm.
Then in first place, the friendliest city in Europe. Could it be a French city?
Oh,
no way in hell.
Unlikely, yeah. Right? It's unlikely. So where is it?
So there were no French cities. It's Galway in Ireland.
Galway.
Galway.
Ah.
Where you eat Gaul.
No.
And it's a very exciting foodie destination as well. Hmm. Lots of people happy and friendly and eating together.
What's a big delicacy of theirs?
Guinness beer.
Irish stew.
Guinness beer. Yeah, just anything with,
Meat and tarties.
That's more what they said, yeah. There's a famous song about Galway.
If you ever go across the sea to Ireland.
You know the song?
Then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the moon rise over Clonmel, and see the sun go down
in Galway Bay. So that's all about Galway. So there's a pretty little Irish song, but they are friendly people. The Irish will, you can meet them, and within seconds, they could be your best friends.
I pissed off a lot of the people in Dublin, in Ireland.
Oh, Leanne.
Mm.
Isn't that where you fell off a stool and you farted and you something?
Those were two separate incidents.
Ah, but it was an island, right?
Both were in Dublin, Ireland, yes.
What happened?
Which, the stool or the farting?
Well, both.
Well, the falling off or the farting?
Okay, start with the story where you pissed off people in Ireland. I mean, to piss them off, you really have to be an awful person.
Okay, so that was at a restaurant called The Elephant and Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that was with my mom and brother, where I'd spotted it in the on Ryanair on our flight as one of the best breakfast places in Dublin.
Okay.
So we decided to go there. Went there for breakfast, sitting on these sort of Swedish-like benches, wooden benches. And I could feel a little rumble in the middle of the jungle.
Oh, my God.
At which point I thought I was going to let out a silent fart.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it ended up being quite enormous.
Well, not like that. I remember the exact sound, and it was something akin to...
More like
it was no.
It never gets old.
Okay.
At which point my brother stood up with his menu in his hand. Because the restaurant, I mean, it's breakfast, right? So you can hear people turning their newspapers.
Sure.
That quiet. Stood up and said, "You will apologize to everyone in this restaurant." And I looked at him with absolute shock and I said, "I'm the one who's in shock here. I wasn't expecting that. And it came out of me." My mom developed a crick in her neck because she didn't move her face from behind the menu until the entire restaurant had turned. In other words, there was no one left in the restaurant who had been there for the incident. Well, my mom was like paralyzed. She couldn't. She was paralyzed with absolute embarrassment.
Shame. Your poor mother. She have to put up with this noise.
So that henceforth it became known as the Elephant and Castle.
I heard the most superb story. In fact, I'm going to see if I can't find it and play it for you because it's worth playing. It's worth playing this in its entirety. You know Peter O'Toole, right? Yeah. He's the famous actor. And he told the story on David Letterman once, which is just absolutely amazing. Now, it's quite long, but I want you to listen to it because it is so fantastic. And it's about Ireland. So listen to this quickly. This is Peter O'Toole on David Letterman's show.
You are of the school and perhaps the heritage and the time where drinking was just something you did when you weren't doing anything else. Is that a fair way to express it?
And when you were doing something else.
I just used to drink all over.
Of course. And when you would go out for an evening, anything ever untoward happened? Like, would you, the next day, would you wake up in a... I mean, how did that work?
many...
He just can't help. He starts laughing.
Well, there's one in particular which I'm fond of. It's my friend, the late Peter Finch. Mm-hmm. And we were in Dublin together on the Lash.
Means they were drinking. But David Letterman doesn't know that.
Lash?
That means usually having a drop of something cheerful.
I see.
And then doing a lot of leaping and shrieking and saying, why not? And Finchie was living about a few miles out of Dublin, and I went back with him to his house where we were going to spend the night, and it was not too late, about four-ish. Mm-hmm.
About four in the morning.
Yeah.
And there was a tiny little hole in the wall bar. And we thought we'd just drop in for the last one. Mm-hmm. But we went in and we had a couple of drinks. And the barman, it was a tiny little, really dirty little place. He said, boys, you've had enough. Mm. You're having no more. So Finchie and I said, no, 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 we're going to have much more. No, 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 says he. You're out. So we bought the bar.
Isn't that fantastic? So they bought it. They wrote a check for him there and then. And they bought the bar. And he goes on to tell the story that the checks were never cashed. And they went there the next morning. And they grew to love this man because he was this really sweet chap. And, you know, they stopped off at his bar regularly on their way to Finchie's house after drinking in Dublin. And, I mean, these were the great Hollywood actors. These are not like the actors we have today who are all stage managed. These were real people. Mm-hmm. And then he died, the owner of the pub, and they went back there for his funeral. And so they arrived. Oh. They arrived because they'd got to know him really well. So they went for the funeral and they got to know his family and everything. And they saw the people at the grave and they went and they knelt down and they were sobbing alongside the family. And an old lady came and tapped Peter O'Toole on the shoulder and said, you're at the wrong grave. So they actually had to move to another grave. It's just the most beautiful story. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that the Irish would do, is they'd welcome you into their own. And I haven't been to Ireland, but I'm very keen to go. I've only ever met the loveliest Irish people. They have a way of telling stories. They have that lilt to their language, which is just magnificent. And they don't mind a drink. They really don't mind. You don't have to. You don't have to persuade them. Yeah, you definitely don't have to persuade them to have a drink with you. Lovely.
But they
people.
Do mind someone farting at breakfast.
Well, I think Leanne's brother, by the sound of that story, has probably got a lot more to worry about than, look who's here. It's Laurel from Pumpkin Patch. Have we got her on this time? Hello, Laurel.
How are you?
God, you look you look much better than last week when we couldn't even see you or hear you properly. How are you doing?
Not, I am very well, thank you. Mate, traveling well. Traveling well. Harley Ann.
Okay, so you're in Australia.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
How long you been in Australia, Sheila?
5 long years, mate. Everyone just have a bee.
Listen, I heard something interesting about Australia, and Leanne can actually back this up. Apparently, there's a visa loophole at the moment that if you want to go to Australia, you can permanently stay there because it takes like 50 years to process an application. Is that true?
Probably not, because getting into the country is pretty much the hardest thing to do because they're restricting arrivals at the airport. So you might think that, but no, actually no. Even coming from, like, if you're an Australian, they've only now, this week, allowed the Australians back that are vulnerable Australians to come back, and then they're going to go to Darwin and they're going to quarantine, and then they can come.
What a place to be quarantined in, Darwin.
No, it's nice because they're sending some of them to holiday camps.
Really?
So you have to be really clever in good places, you see.
All right, let me just reintroduce everybody who doesn't know you or who wasn't absolutely engrossed in this stuff when we were children, because you were a part of so many of our lives. So let me just remind everybody, Laurel is the original human character. There were only two humans in Pumpkin Patch. The rest were all puppets and things. But you may remember this children's show, and she was the delightful, sunny, happy, optimistic, friendly, lovely person who would try to keep all those other lunatics under control. So you remember this? Pumpkin Patch, come on. I know you love it.
No.
Oh my God. Do you go into like a depression when you hear that song?
No. It's got me into many doors. My favorite rendition of the song, though, I was on holiday in Morgan Bay, Eastern Cape, and I walked inside, and an entire drunk cricket team saw me and started singing the song, and that was my best. I was like, oh.
So, I mean, listen, we could talk about Pumpkin Patch in a minute, but I've noticed your Australian accent is getting really strong, so you can...
Mate, it's bad, mate.
No, but it's good, right? Because then they understand you, and you don't have to... People have a go at people who've changed their accents because they've moved somewhere. But I have American friends who are now American, but they obviously were South African once. And if they don't speak like Americans, people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I know. So here it's really weird. And I was thinking about this when I knew I was going to come and chat to you guys today. The weirdest thing is I lived in New Zealand for 13 years and then in Australia. You'd think that all the Commonwealth countries would call the things the same thing. Mm-mm. But in the one country, it's a traffic circle, and the other one, it's a roundabout. And then you have your flip-flops, which are called jandals in New Zealand, but then thongs in Australia, which is not good, which is really not good. But the weirdest thing that Australians do, though, is they shorten everything. So, or they give you like a really weird name. So my son, say, has friends who are, they help with it. They do appies, what they call them, right? Apprentices. Right. Mm-hmm. You can be a Fridgy, a Bricky, a Licky, a Woody. You've got the Fieries, and it is unbelievable. Let me see if you know what any of them are, right? What's a Fridgy? What do you think a Fridgy does?
It must be a fridge repair
person. Fixes fridges.
Yeah.
And air conditioners.
Oh, I know it, right? Okay. All right.
And a Licky?
Igniters.
What's a Licky?
Yeah. A Licky is an electrician.
Okay.
And a Woody?
A carpenter. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying Gareth Cliff, you're naughty enough as it is. Okay. And then you also get a Woody and a Bricky. So those are builders and whatever. But they shorten absolutely everything. They destroy the French language. I met a guy whose surname technically was Beauchamp. You know, like the French?
Yes.
French. I said to him, how do you say your surname? Might just say Beecham. Like, no.
Yes, but the English do say Beecham. In fact, that's kind of an old English thing. So you can't blame the Australians for that. So tell me quickly, because Leanne has family in Australia who she thinks are a real pain in the ass. No, she does.
Where are they, Leanne?
In Wagga Wagga or something like that.
Really? Are they Wagga Wagga? Oh, my word. They've got
They're near Albury.
They're near Albury and Wodonga.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's where the big drama happened, because there was a border between the two states. And Albury and Wodonga, like, were over the line.
Yeah.
And so everyone was freaking out because they couldn't go to work, and that was stopping them. Oh, my word. a very dramatic here. Oh, like,
this is because of the lockdown, right? Because I know that Victoria had very, very strict rules about the lockdown, and some of the other states, like Northern Australia or Western Australia, they couldn't care less.
Okay, there's a reason, though, and the reason is quite hilarious, actually. So we pretty much got to the point where we had hardly any cases. Yeah. Two interesting things happened. A cruise ship called the Ruby Princess docked in Sydney. And for some bizarre reason, which is still under investigation, at the dead of night, they let a whole lot of people out into the city, and 500 people of them had the virus.
Oh, wow.
So they spread it, and they only realized the next day, oh, they had temperatures. Oh, they were coughing. We should have looked, right? So that happened in New South Wales, and that was a major drama. A friend of mine was actually on the ship, and her and her daughter had it. They told her daughter was negative, but she was actually positive. The other really funny thing that happened, though, is Victoria was clean, nothing, right? And so what they would do is the travelers would come in and go into hotels to quarantine. And the government, which is under major fire, people get fired for everything here. Not like South Africa.
Yeah. I wish it would happen.
So what happened is they hired security firms instead of the army like New Zealand did. Yeah. One of the security guards did a little more than check in on someone in a room.
Oh, okay.
And he took the virus from the hotel and he spread it all over Victoria. And that's how that entire outbreak happened. One person doing a dodgy thing. It is ridiculous. The stories are so funny.
But you talk about how the Australian government's under fire. I mean, in particular, the government of Victoria under a guy called Neil Andrews.
Daniel Andrews,
that's his name. Dan Andrews. They're angry with him because he's like a der Führer. He basically the rules are extremely aggressive, and you can't visit your family, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's total lockdown. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It sounds like a police state.
The funnier thing for me, right, and you guys find this, I found this really weird, is that the states are so protective, whereas we're all one country. Yeah. The federal government can't even do anything. So Darwin kind of had no cases. Western Australia, hardly any cases. They now want to separate themselves from Australia. That's the latest news. They don't want to be part of it at all.
Yeah.
Which is where Perth is, where most of the South Africans have gone. And the other thing is that New South Wales, of course, is where everyone flew in through Sydney. So that was the other problem, because they started paying for hotel quarantine. So it's got to the point now, if you fly in from another country, you have to pay $3,000 to stay in the hotel for two weeks.
Right.
Because they were tired of paying. But the problem is, because Victoria got so bad, they didn't want any more people to come into Victoria.
But the border was
100 kilometers long.
When you guys say so bad, I mean, Australia hasn't had hundreds of thousands of deaths. I mean,
we're like freak out if there's two more people.
I know.
Like
all the stupidest countries in the world, and most countries have been this stupid, people are counting the infections instead of the deaths. And the infections, most people survive. So just because you get COVID does not mean that you're going to die. And Australia seems to be the last place on earth for this news to reach.
I know. And I think the problem is that it's become more of a political stoush, as one might call it.
Exactly.
Where the head of Queensland and the Premier of Queensland and New South Wales, they're two women and they hate each other. And forever like vitriolic fights across the TV, you know. And then Dan Andrews is really stoic and he does his thing. And now his health minister is going to get fired. And the minute there's a little bit of drama, someone gets fired. So the one minister years ago took a helicopter instead of driving somewhere.
Yes, that's right. They fired
him.
I remember that. All right. So someone says, Adrian says, hey, actually, you say Leckies for electricians, but they also say Sparky.
You say Sparkies. Yeah, I know. The Leckies is what my son says, which is probably just because it's my strange son. But and we say go for a B.
Are you doing any TV?
I'm directing TV. So I am on radio as an announcer here in Newcastle, but I direct all of the local programming at a TV channel in New Zealand that is nationwide. And I speak to the presenters and tell them what to do. I write the scripts on autocue. I write the everything. Yeah, so I've been very involved this year. It's been a busy year. It all started with Christchurch. So I started doing stuff when the massacre happened, and then we went to the program.
So you were involved in covering that, huh?
Oh, the most amazing part of the whole thing was my presenter and I happened to notice at the memorial gardens, because we interviewed the police chaplain, we interviewed the counsellor, we interviewed the lady who was responsible for like taking the flowers. She was the florist who provided all the flowers. Very interesting. But the most interesting thing was my presenter and I noticed that there was a sign saying you can visit the mosque. So we were like, so we went out for dinner that night, driving home. The mosque was there, much smaller than you think it is. And we walked in, there's a Kiwi policeman like having his dinner. He's like, oh, come in, mate. Yeah, you know, anyway. So
is this shortly, this is shortly after the massacre, right? So this is in the immediate aftermath, okay?
6 weeks after, possibly. Oh. Still lots of flowers and everything everywhere. And then we went inside and we sat on the floor. They offered, if we could sit down, and they offered us food. And we met one of the ladies whose husband had died, and she been texting him. So the last text she got was a smiley face and then nothing. And then they didn't know what happened because obviously, you know, there was no news. They didn't know who died. And what was funny was, so we had taken head coverings to go inside as a mark of respect.
Of course.
And there was one girl.
You take your shoes off, right?
Well, the one girl came over, and I call her Laurel as a Muslim. Mostly because she's wearing a full leopard skin hijab. So if I was a Muslim, I'd probably be all in leopard.
That's quite
so
cool.
So Laurel is a Muslim. She came to us, she went, what colors do you like? And I'm like, oh, I'm bright colors. She came and she gave us a headscarf from the guys, from the ladies at the mosque. And so we were like, it was just such a nice moment. Because
tell me,
you know what was really interesting? Sitting on the floor, I have to just tell you, talking to this lady who's telling you the story, and she was crying, my presenter was crying, with black mascara everywhere. And she said to her, and you realize sitting on the floor, the terror is personal. It is not political. Yes, it is political. But at that moment in time, it was this one lady whose husband, they were the empty nesters, were going to spend their lives together. He was a professor and he died. She's like that.
Yeah, I remember when the story broke, it was just so horrifying. Because also New Zealand is not known for these kinds of things. It must have shocked the people of that country to their core. I remember Jacinda Ardern, who was on
Cindy.
Yeah. Well, is that what you call her, Cindy?
I call her Cindy, yeah. Three of us call her Cindy.
Can you do the New Zealand accent as well as you do the Australian one?
Well, I say New Zealand, I say four, I say here, I say there. My daughter even talks about sitting on the deck. She's gonna go sit on the deck.
Yeah. Well,
that's hardcore. All right. Well, listen. I mean, you're gonna have to be our correspondent if anything good or bad happens in Australia or New Zealand from now on.
Oh, it's really interesting, actually, because what fascinates me most, because my mum is still in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. My dad passed away last year, and I had to get there in a hurry, which was a real shock. And I had to, like, he died in his sleep, had to fly back. Had a great party, though. I decided not to have a funeral, but have, like, a party, because he was a party animal, my dad. Mm-hmm. We were there for 5 hours, and there's a few champagne bottles that went missing. But it was a great party. And so I speak to my mum often, and obviously I've got a lot of friends. Some still in the media as well.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I'm aware of the way you guys think about things. But, of course, the whole corruption scandal has muddied the waters.
Oh, my God. It seems like it's all anyone's talking about when it comes to international news about this country. It's always about the, you know, how shit the government are. What can we say?
Can you explain something to me? Yeah. Is it true? Because I've heard my mother-in-law, stepmother-in-law, has to pay to get tested. Is that everywhere?
I think if you do private tests, you probably pay for them. I think you can get a government test. It might be free. I don't know. It's very, very stupid. I haven't been for a test, even though I think I might have had it at some point.
Gareth, you're the reason that the country is like dying.
Ah, bullshit.
Probably. Oh, nonsense. Wow.
As Donald Trump says, I'm now very powerful. I'm now immune. I have complete immunity.
This is the next level. No, because it's funny, because here everyone gets tested. So my son's been tested twice. My daughter's been. You just like go drive down the road.
Yeah, but it's because you bloody Australians are so pedantic, man. All right, listen, Laurel, we gotta go. But thank you very much for the chat this morning. It's great to catch up with you, and thanks for all the info on Australia and on Christchurch in New Zealand. That was really interesting too. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you very much. Bye,
there we
people.
Go. That's
bye,
Laurel. Man. Laurel nice McCullough. And you may remember Laurel from Pumpkin Patch, but she's been doing a lot of stuff since then, and it sounds like Australia and New Zealand are giving her plenty to do and plenty to think about. You remember that show, Leanne? I know your favorite was Freckles, right?
Yes, well, it was Freckles and Speckles who sang a little song.
That's right.
And Woofles, who went woof, 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 and sings along.
That's right.
Pumpkins are tasty and very good to eat. Pumpkin pie is such a treat. Oh, you know what, Leanne? You can say I was a fan.
Oh, my Leanne, God. You've redeemed yourself from your earlier singing.
That was very good.
No, and I wanted to say, don't blame that singing on me. That's how Blondie sang.
Yeah, Debbie Harry. It's not. So don't make the same mistake that we found out about on Monday or Tuesday when Sia told us that Sade is actually not the woman, but it's the band. So Blondie is the band, and Debbie Harry is the singer.
Who was a Blondie?
That's right, and she does go.
Glass.
Mm-hmm. That's how it goes.
Mad as a Hatter.
Yeah.
Lovely.
She was great. What was that other song that they had, Blondie? I've struck a bit of a blank, but I know that they had a bunch of had more than one song. Let me just see what I can find. Hang on, I'll find it for you quickly. This shouldn't take too long. Heart of Glass. Call me. You can call me any time. And then there's Maria. You gotta see her, right? And then the tide is high, but I'm holding on. That's also them.
I'll be your number one.
Yes. That kind of girl. That's the one. Beautiful song.
Who is up to us like that?
Bulelo is letting me know that we've got a little bit of crackling coming through on the desk this morning. So let me try and sort that out quickly with
Love me some crackling.
Love me some crackling too. You know who is who's cracking to tell us some stories is George Meany. He's on the line and he's joining us this morning, not from a microlite or a plane or a boat or a jet ski or any of those things, but from his house. How are you doing, George?
Hey, Gareth. Hey, Sia. How are you? And Leanne.
Good morning.
Hola.
So what's happening, George? What's on your agenda for this morning?
Pumpkin Patch was one of my favorite shows.
I know.
I'm not going to try to sing it, but yeah.
You love Pumpkin Patch. I did too. I just found Freckles and Speckles pretty annoying, but the rest of it was very good.
It was amazing. It was such a childhood thing. Anybody in their late 30s, probably mid 40s, will remember it.
Damn right. Mm. All right, George, what's happening?
Well, South Africa has new driving rules coming. Fikile Mbalula has gazetted the latest draft of the Administration Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences, R2 as we commonly know it, detailing the new rules that will come into play on 1 July 2021.
Are these rules that will be enforced, or are they just pie-in-the-sky rules? Because the government in this country seems to think that if they make a law, everyone's just going to stick to it and everything will be fine.
Well, this is that demerit system. So, you lose points. You get allocated a maximum of 15 points, and then you lose points every time you have a traffic offense. Mm-hmm. But there's some interesting kind of things that I'd like to dig into. And one of those things is if you're a juristic person, so if you're a company.
Yeah.
And you have a car, and the car gets an infringement, you're obviously not allowed to operate that car.
Sure.
If the company sells the car, the infringement passes to the next car the company buys, which I thought was quite one of the weirder.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't sound right. So I want to get more detail around that. But mostly the car isn't the thing that is fined. It's the person driving. And you'll receive a penalty as well as a fine. So here are some of the demerits and the fines. So failure to stop your vehicle from a commanding officer, you get no fine but 6 demerit points. Failure to comply with the direction of an officer, 2,000 rand fine and 3 points off.
How many points do you have to start with? We need to know
15.
15. Okay, so you've got 15 to play with before they take away your license.
Yes, you've got 15 to play with. And if the demerit points are allocated to a personal vehicle record and no further demerit points are accrued in 3 months. So if you don't get any points off your score within 3 months after receiving the previous demerit points, a reduction of 1 point in the total number of demerit points will be recorded on your system. So you get your points back over time. So if you're good for a while, you'll get your points back.
Okay, so if I lose 3 points for some infringement and then I wait a month, I can get that 1 point back. Or 3 months, and I can get that one point back.
Yes.
And then if I wait another 3 months, I get another point back, and so on. Okay. Now that sounds sensible.
So what happens if you lose all your points? Your license is taken away from you.
Yes, good question.
And can you never get it back?
Well, you can. So a person's driver's license or operated card of a motor vehicle must be handed in for the disqualification period. So if you lose your whole 15 points, you have to hand in your driver's license. Upon a third disqualification, so when the period's over, then you get your license back. Upon a third disqualification, your license will be cancelled. Oh. And you have to apply for a new learner's or driver's license once the disqualification period is over.
What's going to happen to our taxi industry?
I think what will happen is, not just with the taxi industry, but everyone, what will happen is that people will just get an illegal license for the intervening time, and then they'll go and collect their old license back and carry on afterwards, and no one will know any better, because you could pick up a fake license fairly easily in South Africa.
Yeah, well, you know.
So good luck, Vicky.
The system is... It's plausible. It can work. But can it work in South Africa? I don't know. I suppose time will tell. You know, if you can buy a license, then I suppose the system doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, I'd like to know. We'll only know if we put it into practice, right? So let's do that.
Yep. So let's do that. That's happening on the 1st of July, 2021. It's due for a national rollout on the 1st of July. And then some fun stories. A Los Angeles driver the other day was being chased by police. I don't think they've caught this guy, but the police were battling to keep up with him. And he gained such a head start on the police that he managed to stop for fuel. Got out of the car, went and paid the cashier, went back to the car, filled his car with fuel, and carried on in his disappearing act down the coast of Los Angeles.
Sure.
That is such a cheeky move.
Very cheeky move. And I don't know whether they've caught him. The piece doesn't say whether they've actually caught this guy or not, but this happened just the other day. Okay. And then have you ever thought of crazy inventions in cars that never stuck?
Like?
So a toilet.
a toilet in a car. I mean... I always used to have this weird idea that people who had caravans had a toilet in the caravan, and that if they would use the toilet while the caravan was traveling, it would just fall out of the bottom and onto the tar. But obviously I was, because I'd never been in a caravan, I still haven't been in a caravan in my life, but I was put out of my misery by someone who did know about caravans. They said, no, that's not possible. First of all, you can't...
Rolling turds coming out at high speed.
Yeah, I mean, you're not allowed to be in the caravan while it's hitched to a car, first of all. And second of all, most caravans, as far as I know, all caravans don't have a loo in them.
Well, I mean, motorhomes do. And in 1947, a man by the name of Louis Matta created a road trip. He traveled, he wanted to travel, and he did travel 6,320 miles without stopping once. He had a shower and a toilet in his car, and it's believed that this is where motorhomes started.
Okay, well, I don't think a toilet's necessary in a car. I mean, you can stop these days, and there's always a toilet nearby. It's also why I don't understand how so many people get out of the car and pee on the side of the road. When I went down to Durban, there must have been at least 10, maybe 20 people both ways who got out of their car and just peed on the side of the road. Now, you think to yourself, there are garages regularly every couple of kilometers, right? There's really not a long – maybe the longest distance you'd have to go is 100 Ks before there's so you pee, got 100 Ks till the next time you need to pee.
Well, I think it's probably as a result of, not going to pee when you don't need to pee. Your bladder's always got liquid in it.
I think it has to do with an inability to plan for the future.
Well, there we go. So if you do stop at a garage,
yeah,
and you don't feel that overwhelming urge to pee, go and pee anyway. You probably will be able to pee.
Right.
I have never heard urine discussed so philosophically.
Damn right. Absolutely. We take it very seriously on this show, Sia.
It's error in planning.
It's the inability to plan.
Planning.
It's the inability to plan things forward. Seriously.
Exactly.
And it's a terrible, what's the word I'm looking for? Indictment. It's an indictment of people who have no ability to think forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Another thing that didn't stick, which was actually invented, was record players in cars.
Well, that wouldn't work.
I mean, we know how sensitive they are if you bump them. Mm. Can you imagine?
Well, Chrysler actually introduced a record player in a car in the 1950s and 60s. They didn't play massive discs. I know if you're old enough, you might remember the I don't even know what they're called, the smaller discs.
Weren't they just called singles or something?
They were
seven singles.
They were seven inches apparently, versus 12 inches.
Right.
But it never stuck, and I'm assuming it was something to do with the fact that you couldn't bump record players because of the needle on the top.
Yeah, it's a dumb idea.
So scratch that idea.
Okay.
And then a dog sack was invented. That never stuck. So sometimes dogs are bigger than the car that you have to transport them in, or you just don't want you don't want to put your dog in your car. So somebody invented a dog sack that would hang outside of the door of the car
and create
a comfortable sack for a dog. And obviously that never stuck either.
No, many dogs died in the making of that idea.
Many were squashed.
Jeez.
And then what's everybody's parking nemesis? Probably parallel parking.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't like a parallel parking. I really don't.
60% of tests are failed on the basis of the inability to parallel park.
Yeah.
And
once you get it, it's absolutely fine. Then you can do it anyway.
Yeah.
People will never get it.
You do get it. I mean, even when I think I can parallel park, but there is one out of every so many parallel parking maneuvers that you will get wrong, and that would be a failure. A fifth wheel was invented a few decades ago, which was a fifth wheel at the back of the car that was perpendicular to the other wheels. And all you needed to do was pull up to the parking bay. The wheel would then descend, and you'd be able to laterally move into the parking bay. But
I think that invention should have stuck.
No, that's a terrible thing. Imagine that. How embarrassing. Like, when you do get a parallel parking done properly, I mean, if you can parallel park really expertly, you feel like the king, right? You're like, oh, look at this. It's perfect. I'm exactly the same distance from that car as I'm from that one. My car is perfectly parallel to the road. I haven't, like, scraped the curb. This is good. You know, you feel really good about yourself. But if you have a little wheel that comes down, it's almost like, please, I'm going to park my car. Come on, it's embarrassing.
Training wheel.
Yeah.
I don't know that feeling. Wheel.
That's it.
Because I still wait for my back wheel to hit the pavement. Then I'm like, oh, okay, now I need to turn into...
Oh, Sia.
Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to drive with you, Sia.
Yeah, that how word. Shocking.
And then very lastly, a couple of absurd traffic laws around the world. We've surfaced a few of these, but in Switzerland, you are not allowed to slam your car door. Have you ever slammed your car door?
Yeah.
Like out of anger?
Yeah, in a temper. Mm.
In Switzerland, it's illegal to slam your car door.
Shit.
And in Milford, Massachusetts, it is illegal to peep into the window of a car.
Yeah, that's good. It should be illegal. I don't like these people who come right up to your window and look in. And especially, like, I don't have tinted windows, but I know there are people who do. And then you'll get some inquisitive old busybody who'll, like, stick her hand right over here, and then she'll look into your car. I mean, what business is of yours? What's going on in the car?
Exactly. You know, but I mean, you almost every traffic light you stop at in South Africa, there's someone peeping into your car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's also
true. I've had someone put their face on my window.
Sure.
Okay. I reversed and knocked them a bit with my side mirror, but still. Because he was looking at what he could steal in there.
Yeah, of course. It's either that or they're a nosy parker. So there's no good reason for you to be looking into other people's car. Yes, make it illegal.
Make it illegal, I say.
Right.
And then in San Francisco, it is forbidden to polish your car with used underwear.
because it was so common.
That is so stupid.
Maybe because it's disgusting. I don't know.
I don't think it's disgusting. Used underwear tends to be extremely soft because people usually wear it until the last minute when it's got like none of its life left in it. So it tends to be a quite a useful cloth for polishing and for buffing things. Yeah.
I don't know. I somehow feel like it should be made a law that you have to cut out the crotch and throw that part away.
But what do you do with old underwear? Do you just throw it away? Do you incinerate it? I mean, what do you do?
It's a good question. I mean, I think if I had to think about it, I'd probably throw it away. I've been throwing it away. I mean, my best is the older a T-shirt gets, the more comfortable it gets.
I know. It's hard to throw out an old T-shirt that you love, even if it looks like shit and it's got holes starting to appear in it. Yeah. I had one T-shirt when I was a teenager, and it was a terrible T-shirt, but it was so comfortable, and it was so soft, and it was so damn nice, and I didn't want to throw that thing away. I was heartbroken when I eventually had to.
I committed that sin as a wife, where I threw away my husband's favorite T-shirt.
Yeah.
It was a Superman T-shirt, and the S for Superman on the front had worn so badly that it was hanging like a flap. So you could see his bare chest and the S that was dangling from the bottom. So you can't blame me for throwing it away.
Absolutely.
But I got into a bit of trouble for that.
Jeez, Leanne. That was shortly after that they got divorced.
Yeah, then we got divorced.
Yes.
And then very lastly, in Canada, in a place called Jasper Gates, you are forbidden to drive or go faster than a horse or a carriage.
Wow. Is it an Amish town
What's
or something?
What's the point?
If there's a horse or a carriage around, you can't drive faster than a horse or a carriage.
Okay. Well, I'm not moving there anytime soon, so I don't think I have to worry about that stupid law. All right, George, thank you very much. George Meany and our little bit of motoring lifestyle stuff for this morning. It always is good to have George on, not only because he's terrific, but also because we know when George comes on, it's Friday. So your weekend is finally here. Have an excellent day, and we will see you on Monday next week. Yes, good weekend, everybody. And, be nice to everybody, even if they're a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter, or even if they've just broken up with their ex because she put a video of them on the internet saying how you gave them an STD. Be nice to everybody this week. Let's try really hard to not be assholes, shall we? Have a happy weekend. We will see you on Monday at 6 o'clock, bright and early. CliffCentral.com.